Welcome to our podcast. Oh, you can look for exits, but there aren't any. Consider this your podcast of no return. So you might as well sit back and relax while you listen to tales of the odd, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy. But beware, you never know what's lurking around each and every corner. Now here are your hosts, Todd and Sean. And they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 4. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean. Nate is our sound engineer, and yes, we are middle-aged and creeped out. Sean, what's going on, man?
Nothing too much. Doing really well.
We're talking about the spring weather a little bit. A little bit ago.
It is beautiful, 72, sunny, and people are walking their dogs, playing, having fun.
Yeah, over the weekend, driving by the park, I was looking at the people playing pickleball, and the courts were, it was packed, like 400 people strong. And I'm thinking, how do you get on a court if you want to play? And so we were talking last night. Elijah said, hey, Mommy and Daddy, can we buy some pickleball equipment? Because I want to learn. I'm like, sure, that'd be another family activity, you know. And I thought we just have to get there at a certain time.
Right, yeah. You got to get there early.
There's always people over
there.
Yeah,
it's kind of cutthroat too, what I've noticed. I've never played.
Well, and the cool thing is I see kids, young kids, and then there's people in their 70s, 80s playing. It's great exercise, but yeah, it's pretty packed.
I played racquetball a little bit until I got hit and got the welts, and it was like, okay, I'm done with racquetball.
My oldest brother, Steve, He played racquetball big time.
Yeah.
Competitive.
It gets serious too.
And I never have. I've never played racquetball. But
I never
tennis.
Did
I played tennis. But I was the basketball, baseball, softball, but a little bit of golf over the years, but never racquetball or anything like that. So, but yeah, it is beautiful weather. You can't beat it. It's moonroof weather and tee tops and convertible. So
it is pristine out.
But yeah, doing all right though.
Yeah.
Everything good. Good week so far.
Yeah. So far, so good.
Excited to be back in the recording.
Oh my gosh. We were talking about the night that we finished the third recording. It was, I was wanting to do it again. Like, I know we were all tired and worn out, but it was like, can we do that again tomorrow? So every morning that I wake up, I'm like, is it podcast recording day?
Yeah.
Is it podcast recording? It's like waiting for Christmas. So yeah, to say I'm excited is an understatement.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So what's going on with you, Nate?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just got my first vaccination shot today. So
did you?
We'll see how that all goes.
Oh, did you? Anything so far? No reaction?
No. I'm pretty resilient to stuff. It takes a lot to bug me.
Okay.
So, not grown a tail yet?
Not yet.
No 30 or anything like that. Work going all right, though? Any special projects or anything?
Just working on the new jail at Indianapolis.
Oh.
Yeah, I've been there over 6 months. It feels like I'm in jail, just welding all day.
Really? That's cool.
They're nice enough to let you go home, right?
Yeah, they let me come home.
But you said downtown Indy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
Over east of Fountain Square
is
where it's at. Yeah, it's nuts.
Very cool. So. Very cool. Well, I will announce that I turned 50. It'll be 2 weeks ago Friday, so I'm officially out of my 40s. So we'll see what the 50s bring me. 40s were good. 30s were good, too, but...
It was the question, are you still living?
Yeah, half a century old. I'm like, oh, wow. But it was fun. I got a lot of love on social media from friends and family and text messages. And, of course, my mom called and wished her baby boy a happy birthday. But it was awesome. And then we went home, and because everybody's like, so what are you going to do? Like, I get it. It's 50th party or birthday. And I'm like, I just want to go home with my wife and kids and hang out at home.
Right.
I don't need anything special. They did a surprise party when I was 40. Just get me home, get me some food, and then so they showered me with gifts and made my favorite cake, cherry chip, back when I was a kid, and then gave me bags of my favorite candy and couldn't beat it. Yeah, it was fun.
Tell you that sounds good. Night, cherry so. Cherry chip.
It's hard to
cake.
Say.
Yeah, it's tongue twister.
Yeah.
That's hard to find anymore.
Yeah. So when I was in grade school age, that's every year my mom would make it, with the strawberry icing and all that. And then getting older, I'm like, ooh, it's not as easy to find as it was back in the 80s,
right?
Yeah. 70s and 80s. But she finds it, but she couldn't find strawberry icing. I said, She goes, I have white icing. I go, that's all right. As long as the cake is cherry chip. But it takes me back to my youthful days when I was a kid. Now I'm 50.
It was a blink of an eye, right?
Yeah. But it's been good. I'm just glad the weather is nice and get out and about and not freeze to death. So
we have to say one thing before we forget about it. Today is Todd and his wife Amy's anniversary. 14 years.
Yeah.
So happy anniversary to you guys.
Thank
you.
Congrats.
Yeah.
It'll be forever cemented in podcast history, right?
Yeah. 14 years. It's probably felt like 28 to her. <She's>, at least double.
We won't get her opinion yet, right?
Yeah, she's a good woman. No. Yeah. Thank you guys. It's been the last couple of weeks, a lot to celebrate. And, it's springtime and just ready for spring break next week. I know you guys are we're doing a staycation. We usually do for spring break, but so where are you going?
Yeah, Jen and I, the kids are going to go with their grandparents and the dog, and then Jen and I are going to go to Nashville for 3 days.
Oh, okay.
Cool. So Claire was saying last night, she's like, Mommy and Daddy haven't had a vacation since their honeymoon. And like, yeah, that's been a while. So yeah.
Good. Yeah. Well, and Jenna told me last week or last time we recorded or whenever it was, or maybe I was picking up my stuff, I left.
Yeah, that's right.
She said,
right,
you guys are going on a haunted tour.
Yes.
Or something like
that.
She
was going to surprise me with that, but she's very nice. Surprises. So she was like, we're going to take a haunted tour. And I was like, are you sure you're okay with that? And she's like, yeah, I think I can handle it.
Yeah, that's cool. And where is it? Or like what? We're visiting what places?
I'm not sure. Well, there's several. I'm not sure how it's a walking tour at night. I think it's like an hour and a half, hour and 15 minutes, something like that. Maybe 45 minutes, but it is like major spots that are supposed to be haunted and you get to see some of the history. So I don't know. I don't know much about Nashville. I've never been, I've only been through
it's
there.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite places to go.
Yeah. I'm great. Totally excited. And there's a lot of haunting stuff. So the other place we were talking about going was Savannah, but it's a little further to go, be awesome. Away from the kids and it's very haunted. So they've got a good haunted
Savannah
tour there
and Charleston.
Too.
They're only, I think about a half hour away.
Yeah. They're not far away.
They have a ton of history and a ton of haunted locations or whatever. And where are you going, Nate?
Just the last half of the week, we'll be going down to French Lick.
Oh, nice. I've never been there.
We go there every year. My wife, she's gone there since she was a little kid. So she likes getting down there and checking it out once a year.
No, so staying at the French Lick Resort?
This will be the first time we're going to stay at West Baden.
Okay.
And, it'll be our first time staying at one of the hotels down there.
Because I know I think it's called the French Lick Hotel.
The French
Resort,
Lick,
or what's it? Something like that?
Yeah.
It's
French
huge.
Lick Grand Hotel or something like that. Yeah.
And that's got a haunted story from
yeah,
the original.
Yeah, we'll be getting to that in a future podcast.
Yeah. So there's a lot. Yeah, that'd be nice. But I've never been there either. So. I've never. My brother used to go down there and he'd play golf. And
They have a nice golf course.
Yeah, championship course. Yeah. Uh-huh. And he his claim to fame, he shot par. On it.
Ooh,
so
ooh, nice. Ranked.
Well, yeah, he's a big golfer. So,
it's all, that's
shout out to
Larry,
brother Steve. Yeah,
Larry Birdland, right down there.
So, yeah. You can go and still see his childhood home.
That's cool.
The Hick,
still there.
French Lick. Yeah, that's cool. I'm good. Yeah, we're doing a staycation. We're not doing anything special, but it'll be nice just to not work during the day, and I still have my business at night. But that's okay.
Can shut off your alarms, right? That's the best part of vacation is shutting off alarms.
It'll just be nice.
If you're like me, I still get up at the same time, alarm or no alarm.
Yeah, oh, man. That's part of it too.
Yeah, I sleep in like I'm 14 still.
Yeah, you should. So. That's
well, very cool. Well, guys, thanks for joining us again for episode 4. And we have a little bit of something different before we get into the main topic. One of our listeners and subscribers, her name is Jessica. And we are friends, and I used to work with her 20-plus years ago, and she took the time to email some personal creepy stories. So I thought I would take the time to read a couple of those before we get into the main discussion tonight.
I'm excited for these.
Yeah. Yeah, when I told her I was going to read them, she's like, oh, cool.
It's like, thank you, Jessica. Thank you. And thank you for listening.
Yeah, and thank you. Yeah, seriously, thank you, Jessica, for sending those in. And just to remind anybody, if they do have any personal experiences or stories they want, they can email us. You can email my email is twhedges1@yahoo.com. T as in Todd, W as in William, my last name Hedges, Hedges, the numeral1@yahoo.com. And, you can give me the approval to use your name on the air. If you don't, I'll just reach out to you and say, hey, is it okay? And just give me the authorization to read it on the podcast. So don't hesitate to send anything like that. And again, like we always say, it's a friendly community and supportive, and nobody's going to think you're weird and wacky and creepy, anything like that, except that's what we're wanting. So
exactly right.
Yeah. So anyway, so here's the first story from Jessica. I will read this to you. So a couple of months after my sister died in 2013, my mom was buying cigarettes at a gas station. As she was walking out the door, she brushed shoulders with the woman, and the woman said, "Hey, can I talk to you for a minute?" My mom asked, "What about?" And she said she was a medium. So my mom said, "I guess what do you want?" She proceeded to tell my mom that her daughter that had just passed wanted her to know that she was okay, and she wanted my mom to be happy and start dating. My mom was so happy but started crying. The woman went on to tell my mom about the white dog that was there in hospice, which was true. There was a white therapy dog in the hospice facility. She also told my mom to get in the back of her closet where Rhonda's, my sister's name, clothes were in a box and look for the jeans with the sparkly belt. There is something in the pocket for you. My mom thanked the woman with tears running down her face and left to go home. My mom dug in the closet and found the jeans with the sparkly belt. In the pocket was a guardian angel pendant my sister kept in her jewelry box. That's wild.
It is wild.
Wow, that's heavy.
It really is.
Because I don't know. I don't know if I'm all on board with the mediums, and I just don't know what to think about that whole part of the paranormal and that stuff. You know, I know there's some, you know, ones that are just in it for the cash. They don't know what they're doing. You know, they're just taking people,
making a name for themselves, right?
And, you know, and they kind of, and they're good at what they do, and they kind of play on the, you know, and then I guess there's people that are legitimate. I just don't know what to think about that. But I obviously that's pretty cool, regardless of my opinion or what. That's for her to pinpoint. Hey, go in the closet, look for the sparkly jeans. There's, I mean, that's pretty wild.
It's pretty specific and just out of the blue. That there's Netflix has a really good, it's life after death kind of, and they're different. I haven't even watched all the segments, but I've been watching the one on mediums. And I find that interesting too, because I think there are legitimate people out there that do have that kind of sixth sense and can be able to tap into the, tap into that, the other side. But I do think there's a lot of people taking advantage there. And back in the day when mediumship was huge, like in the late 1800s and the 1900s, Houdini was out there trying to, and other people, not just Houdini, but they're trying to get those people to make sure that, you know, like show me that you can actually do this. And he debunked a lot of them.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a big debunker.
What was the great Randy? And that the,
he passed away.
Yeah, he did. And he was had $1 million like prize for anybody that could, you know, undergo his scientific tests and things like that to be able to show that they really did have like psychic powers. And as far as I know, nobody was able to do that to his satisfaction.
Right. And there was a lot of contention with that just because his satisfaction was trying to reach that. And I mean, it was just too,
he's a big skeptic. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Huge. He just passed away not too long ago.
But I personally, I think there is something to that, and
I do too.
I've heard so many of those stories, and I've had things where things have come to me, and it's like, where did that come from? And I do believe it's possible. I think you just have to be open to it, and sometimes there are the things that seem like a coincidence are not a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences. I think if we're really paying attention, things are happening for a reason.
Yeah, reading a story like that, that's telling me, okay, so, yeah, like you said, it's out of the blue. Yeah. It wasn't planned, or she didn't go to the
She's like, I'll tell you if you give me $100.
And the lady didn't ask a bunch of questions to kind of build up this.
Right. Those mind games. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Psychology.
Yeah. Anything, Nate, you want to
talk about? I've seen various things like that happen, and it does seem like the legit ones are out of the blue. Just they're walking by and like, oh, wait, do you have a minute? And they say something to you and they're right. You know, I think those are the real ones that can tap into something, but there are a lot of scams out there.
Right.
Yeah, just ask the right questions and good guesses, educated guess. Yeah, they're out there too.
Yep. But yeah, that was a very cool story. That was very cool. And the second one, I'll read this real quick. One night in the house I'm living in now, I was getting ready for bed and my dog was in the hallway asleep. I had just stepped over him coming from the bathroom. I'm in my bedroom and I hear him sit up and just start growling like crazy. He was old and didn't care much anymore about things outside, so I thought it was strange that he was growling at something. I peeked around the corner to look at him, and he's looking towards our dining room and just growling. I looked up into the dining room and I see a man that was white and shadowy. He's pacing very fast back and forth by our kitchen table. It reminded me of the Flash, just quick back and forth flashes, and he wasn't completely visible. I thought he looked like he had on a white t-shirt, too. My dog kept growling. When I started to yell for Chris, It just disappeared, and my dog stopped growling. I wonder if it was the old man that lived there before us. He died right before we moved in, but it was in the hospital. And so what she also did is she, in the email, sent a picture of what the guy looked like.
Right.
So her email says, here's the couple that lived in the house before us and said they both died close together. So I guess husband and wife. But that's pretty wild because, you know, they always talk about dogs and animals. They have that sense.
Yep.
They can see stuff or sense stuff that we can't.
Yeah, look down the empty hallway and their hair standing up on,
right.
You know, they're just going berserk.
Right. And I think, wow, that's, yeah. And if, you know, an older man, if he died right before they moved in, I think that's, or something to that, you know.
We had a, moving, we've been in this house, we're going on 5 years, and we had a dog before named Jack, the boxer. And Nate knew Jack.
Mm-hmm.
He never set foot in this house. And we built this house. He was living with Jenna's parents. In the interim, and we had to put him down basically before we started moving in. And it was funny because my wife and I both had experiences of his like spirit. You know, they say dogs are really ingrained. We had him for almost 11 years, and we would see him. I'd been down, you know, reflexively to pet him, and he wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And then we would both hear him. We'd be sitting there watching TV, and our kids would be asleep, and she said, did you hear that? And I was like a dog collar? Yeah, I hear a dog collar. And it sounded like Jack just like coming down the stairs. And we would just catch him out of the corner of our eye. But it was like, he's still with us. And now that we have Jude, you know, we just got him. We've had him for just over a year. It's almost like he can sense something. My wife will say, what's he looking at? He's staring at like this corner or something. And I was like, it's probably just Jack, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's kind of another
part
of it. But, you know, you get those kind of experiences that are kind of cool.
Yeah. They I've heard on a lot of podcasts and, you know, just watching YouTube stories and things that, yeah, animals have that sense and they can see something.
Right.
Know, and kids as well.
Mm-hmm. You should pay attention. Yeah.
It's kind of like that sense of, you know, dogs and kids can get a sense of if somebody's a good person or, you know, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe the paranormal side too, they can see a figure or something, some spirit or whatever. So.
Right.
But those are very cool stories, Jessica. Thank you again for emailing those. And like I said, she emailed a good number of them. So in future episodes, I'll read a couple more as we go in the future. So
those make me think of a couple too. Like I know I could sit here and tell a lot of stories, but I'll tell them across the podcast. But that makes me think of, I've got one. I've written out kind of what I read at my grandmother's funeral. And I went through a whole process with her. So sometime I'll tell that one. That'll be a little bit more emotional for me. But it's a really good, really good story. And at the end, I kind of wrap up what her life's ambition and goal was. And so it was really cool. But it's funny that with those stories, they kind of make me, especially the first one, Jessica, makes me think of like my cousin. She lost her dad a few years back. And my uncle and I had, we were all very close as a family and he meant a lot to us. And I feel like a lot of the relatives that have gone beyond, I see them in dreams or I feel them or I hear them through a song. And, she has been trying to stay close to him cause they had a very close connection on earth. And, as soon as he passed, you know, she really has missed him and we all have, I have too. I did something crazy at his funeral that I would have never done had I not felt compelled to do so. But I sang the song that was played on the radio when I was just emotional thinking about his passing and missing him and telling him how much I love him and just kind of, you know, wishing him peace on the other side. And the song played on my phone and it just was like him saying, this is my response. And so I'll have to tell you some of those stories too at some point, but she'll remember this too, but one night I wasn't quite asleep and I was just kind of like had this anxiety in me and I couldn't quite fall asleep, but I just felt this presence with me and it was, I felt like it was him and he was trying to say, look for me through the music, like tell her to look for me through the music. And so I texted her, I'm like, I know this sounds really strange, but I feel like your dad's trying to tell me that you need to look through the music. And so she'll tell me every once in a while, like, you know, these, mm-hmm. the lights will kind of flicker or a certain song will play or whatever. And she's like, I go through these periods where I don't feel like he's close. And then the next thing I know, something like that happens. And she's like, cause I tell her, I'm like, I have this great faith that there is the other side and that they are okay. And they're out there. And I think we just have to listen and we have to understand some of those things that we're hearing or seeing, but so it's really cool.
Yeah.
That I think that's possible. So I'm not claiming to be a medium. I'm not claiming to be psychic, but I do think there are things that we pick up on,
sure.
you know, like certain frequencies, like a radio station, if we kind of tune mm-hmm. into it or it tunes into us.
Yeah. And just reading that first story. The second one was good, but that first one, because it's,
that hits you really hard.
Her mom and her sister that passed away. Man, yeah. I was reading it and I was not my family, but it's heavy already. I was like,
I wasn't planning to say all that, but that story kind of drew that out of me, sure. honestly. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, thanks again, Jessica. And now, Sean, I'm going to turn it over to you, and why don't you tell the listeners what we are going to discuss for episode 4.
Episode 4 is something, I know when we went by all these topics and like, what are we going to talk about and what kind of things? I love history. I'm a big history buff. And I do think that there's partly missing history. You know, I don't think we know all of our history. And that led me to think about what would be something interesting to talk about. So what we're wanting to talk about, and this is a very broad, just kind of like the shadow phenomenon and right. sleep paralysis that we talked about. We could talk about for hours and days. But this is going to be on underground cities and civilizations. And that's a pretty broad topic, and we may go down a couple, I'm trying not to fall down too many rabbit holes with this, but this is a fun topic to kind of talk about.
Yeah.
And the more that you expand on it, the more you tippy toe into some conspiracy type theory type stuff. But I love a good conspiracy theory, but we'll try to navigate around that in a fun way.
Well, we're going to take your lead on this.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I've got a lot of notes. I know. Yeah.
I know Nate got his notes, but Sean, what'd you do? You text us last night and said, we'll probably kill you.
I said, yeah, you're going to kill me for this, but I have so many like mental notes and notes. I even was going to reorganize my notes. I'm like, nope, this is perfect. This is exactly how my mind works. I'll start it with a story because it's a really good story if I tell it right. And I know we, like I said, we'll kind of turn this around different place. This is my mom used to say, take any kind of subject or problem that you're having and kind of walk around it and observe it from all different angles. So that we'll kind of do that with this subject. We're going to start in Malta, and Malta is an island, that is in between Sicily and Northern Africa in the middle of the Mediterranean. It is a spooky kind of place in some ways, but it's got a lot of history. It has been sought after through, you know, throughout history as a stronghold in the Mediterranean. It has been a place where many historical things have happened. The Romans have been there. The Moors have been there. The Knights of St. John are recorded to have been there. And so there's a lot of history there. There's ideas that there are tunneling systems that go underneath in the Mediterranean that go to Rome, and then they go, you know, all over the major cities and around Europe and Asia and all that kind of stuff. So it's fascinating, just this little island, you know, that has had so much history. But there is a really good story that I ran across, and in some places you see it's just an old wives' tale or a folklore, but in other places they say it really did happen. I would have to say, if somebody out there is listening that knows Malta or knows the history or lives there, that would be awesome for somebody to actually confirm that some of this is true, all of it's true, or to get that version of it, because I would love to hear it. And it is recorded in a National Geographic in August of 1940, and it's number 78. Did you guys see this at all when you were looking?
It's part of my notes.
Yay!
Yeah, I've read about three stories on it.
Or, oh my gosh!
It's so I started looking. I'm like, there's way too much. This is Sean's.
This is I know. This is it is such
pretty
a
deep.
Good story.
Yeah,
that's why I thought I'll let him take the lead, and then I'll just chime in.
I've read it. I've listened to it, and when I first heard it, I was like, this. It gave me the creeps. Like it totally like made mm-hmm. hairs on the back of my
head, agree.
My neck. Stand up. But there's what's called a hypogeum there in Malta. It's an underground cemetery. It is carved. There are three known levels of the hypogeum, and it's carved out. They say the Greeks carved it out 3,600 years ago, 4,000 BC, whatever. So it is very, very old, and it has been you know, different, you know, castles and fortresses and things have been built on this island. So there's all kind of tunnels, you know, and ways. If you get very deep, you get lost real easily. So they run tours on those first three levels. And in 1902, there were masons or brick masons that were down working on the bottom level. And one of them fell through into this other cavern. And so there was this great expanse that they found. So it was like, oh, what's this place? So it goes even deeper than has ever been explored. So starting in 1902, they knew that there was more to this. And fast forward into the 1930s, there was a teacher and students that it was supposed to be 30 school age children, and their teacher went down on a little tour and had a tour guide. And supposedly there was a cave in. So the rocks came down and they got trapped. Apparently the tour guide did not. So we've got these 30 kids and the teachers are stuck down there in this hypogeum. And the way that Malta is designed, a lot of the homes are very, very old. Some of them are very ancient. They have basements and cellars that go down into the ground and connect to these tunnel systems. So there's stories that say for days, some say for weeks, that you could hear the screams of these children and of this teacher, which is horrific to think about, obviously, if you're, oh, yeah, if you're thinking about that aspect of the story. Other places, you know, talk about like, that they tried to find these kids. They could never locate them though. They couldn't understand what exactly was happening to them. So there was a lady named Lois Jessup that a week prior to the children becoming lost, she had been down, she reports, and that's in this issue of National Geographic. She reports that she and a guide went down and she asked them, at that time it was a candlelit tour. And she said, I want to go further down. She wanted to see the further levels. And they basically said, this guide that she had said, I'm not taking you there. But he, with her insistence, he basically said, you know, you can go on your own. And he like tied her up to,
at your
to
own be risk. Able
to get at your own risk. Yeah. So she had this candle and she was supposedly like tethered. And she went down into this cavern area. And she says that she saw, it was a pretty long expanse that was downward. And there were what she saw on a ledge that was 20, 30, 40 feet away. These very tall, giant beings that were covered in hair walking across, and they all looked up at her very eerily. And she could only make these out with a candlelight. And supposedly in one story, that was about it. And she was scurried back up. Another one, she said that the wind blew and this something like went across her and she could feel right, whatever it was. And of course creeped her out. She got them to bring her back up quickly. And they did. She explained them what she had just seen. And then the children incident happened. And then she wanted to go back down there after that happened and explore some more. And they said that she couldn't locate the guide that she had before. And they tried to deny that guide had ever even been there. So she said that the other guide had this knowing look, like there was something fishy, you know?
Right. Yeah, I had read two or three articles on that story.
Yeah,
and you're talking kids disappearing, and man, I hate that. You know, not that it's sad if adult, you know, if adults disappear, it'd be terrible too.
Right,
to know kids, you know. And I was reading that. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like how creepy would that be to be trapped down there, you know? And then when they all that Jessup went down, you know, mm-hmm, a little bit before and saw right, those humanoids, I think she called mm-hmm, them humanoids.
Yes, humanoids.
Yeah, and I was getting, when you were telling that story about the, she says like a wet type creature or something,
yeah,
that brushed
the,
by
brush
her.
Brushed by her,
like,
yeah.
Ooh, you know, and then, yeah, then the wind came by and I think, yeah. And then talking about the, when she went back and that new guy, like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, and
or denied that.
There are accounts that there was never, when they looked for these children, they looked for the teacher, that there was no kind of a cave-in ever located. And other people say that's part of the cover-up. And so that's where it becomes a tale or folklore or kind of, you know, what really happened. But they do say that a lot of those details are in that National Geographic number 78. So
yeah,
it's kind of hard to you know, dispute that.
And it said that when she went back, she discovered that the tunnel was boarded up, and then her first guide seemingly never existed.
Yeah, It's kind of weird, you know?
And they were talking about, like, well, what would she gain by telling a story like that? You know, I mean,
we're still talking about her today, but
right.
but I would have, you have to dig for that kind of a thing. That's not something that I was just looking. This is, you know, when we were looking at things to talk about, that's just something that I came across and I was like, whoa, I have never heard anything. I've only heard this story in the last, you know, half a year or so.
So are they speculating that the guide was a ghost?
I don't think that. I think they're trying to, they're saying in the story that was, it's part of the cover up. Like that the guide was legit, like supposedly there. But so I don't think that they're trying to say that person was any kind of a spirit, but I think it was just that they, you know,
covered
as a
cover. Yeah, oh, he exactly. was accident yeah. and everything. Yeah.
Right.
Regardless, it's pretty creepy. Well, and you're talking about the children, and what I read was that they call it the Heritage Malta.
Yeah,
it's kind of like the official, you know, about the history of the place, and their official statement is it's a myth about the kids. I think it's the kid story.
Right? I still yeah,
and
it's still yeah, whether it's I mean, true or not, it's a fun yeah. little story, and it makes your skin kind of crawl in my opinion. Yeah. Like when it was, the video I watched, it was real creepy and the music and all that stuff. And I think that makes it even more creepy, but it's just to think about that. But what I think about besides the sadness of what kind of, you know, even if that's a true story, what kind of beings did Lois Jessop see? Like, what was that? What are these humanoid things that are down there? There's all kind of theories, and like I said, you can label a lot of it conspiracy theories, but if you think about it, we don't know. We want to explore space. We don't know what's out in space. We want to explore, you know, we do explore the oceans. We don't know exactly everything that's in the oceans. We haven't really fully explored. And we've had a lot of people, you know, splunking and going, you know, caving. And that's great, but it's also dangerous. And so we've only gone so far into the Earth. That's one of the things we'll talk about, you know, the deepest hole in the planet. Those kind of things are interesting, but we really don't know what's in our planet. We know what we've learned in science. And I'm not, you know, you can talk about, you know, what's in the middle of the Earth and what, you know, what is it made of? Well, we're taught that it's molten iron, you know, and lava, and then there's different levels until you get to the crust. And so there's that scientific viewpoint, which I believe is true, because I don't know any different, but I'm also not brave enough to want to go down in some of these caves that have drop-offs that are hundreds of feet, it's very perilous and dark.
Not really great down there. I mean,
no, yeah. you have to be very prepared. Just like you to climb a mountain, you'd have to be very prepared to go down into a cave and potentially get stuck down in there.
And can you imagine? She had a candle.
Yeah,
that's not the best lighting source.
Yeah, I was going to ask if either of you have ever been on a cave tour where they've said, you know, I've been on one at Mammoth Cave. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and in Kentucky?
And they get to a certain point where he's like, now, the guide says, I am trained to get you out of here with one candle light power. And he turns off all the lights in the room, holds up a Bic lighter and lights it. He goes, now that's one candle watt power.
Yeah.
And I'm able to get you out of here with this. And it's not a whole lot of light.
No.
But it's just enough, yeah.
Yeah.
See, I would say, can you have like five or six of those? Maybe some backups, because that's not really that. Wow. I don't know how confident I would be. I mean,
so then just seeing those humanoids with just that amount of light, I mean, that you'd have to be pretty close to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's
well,
that's
and like that
creepy
one she said brushed right up against her, and it was like a slippery wet type of feeling, like, ugh, man. It's creepy.
Yeah, so in the Earth, you know, there's all kind of folklore and myths and, things that we've heard since we were kids, you know, Greek mythology and that kind of stuff, Indian folklore, about what, you know, where we come from and what's in the earth and all those kind of things. It's so, so interesting, but there's a fear factor, you know, like, oh, there's, what would it be like not to have the sun? You know, we depend on being land dwellers. I mean, that's what we do. And it's also interesting to think about why some of these cultures had to go underground. You know, some of them did. One, the main one, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. I've heard it so many different times, but it's the main, it's a city in central Turkey, is one of the most well-known. I know on the Facebook where I posted that, the underground levels, of all the people. And there was, they had enough places for 20,000 people at least to reside under Turkey. And there, it's like, what, you know, what would you need to go underground for? You know, well, there's so many people trying to conquer. Turkey is a land bridge that you have to, you know, protect. So it's going to be a very important area, you know, for conquest and things like that. And people coming back and forth. So you're going to have to find some way to do that. But for them to say, oh, we're just going to dig all these levels or use what's already naturally created. And that's happened a lot of times in some of these underground areas. But it's, they figured out ventilation and they figured out how, I mean, there were, there's, they find, remnants of churches and places of worship where they could keep their animals, where they kept food storages. I mean, all those kind of things, salt mines, of course, too. That's interesting to me that they could live fully functional underground for long periods of time.
Right.
There's other theories that, you know, something, you know, extraterrestrial came and they were scared of that, or, you know, asteroid, you know, hitting and those kind of things. So what drove them underground is interesting, or the fact that they thought we're going to have to do this. And, you know, our ancestors since the beginning of time have lived in caves, you know, they lived for protection in these places, or they also fought animals for the caves to have as protection. But it's, to me, like I said, it just gets very interesting. As far as how we've used this as a civilization and how where we've come from.
Oh yeah.
The one thing I wanted to point out is the Indian lore. Most, if you go back into a lot of the different, Indian tribes, they talk about coming from the center of the earth, or there's three levels of the inner earth. And then the fourth level is outside. And they talk about being mostly our ancestors from the inner earth. And then there's a story about the mole was the first creature that poked through, and it was, the sunlight was so bright and nothing was used to the sunlight that the mole was blinded. That's why moles are blind. And then other creatures, it did not want to come out, but the other creatures decided like, oh, you know, what is the mole found? And that's how our ancestors, where they came from. So that's just folklore, and that's interesting,
sure,
but right. It's interesting that a lot of the Indians, Aztec and Mayans, they have all these stories about their civilizations coming from underground.
Yeah. I just can't imagine being the one to build that type of environment, to build that type of home.
Right.
And like you said, they had a place for worship, place for their food, their animals. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just one big hole in the ground.
Yeah.
For just everything. It was separated like a city or town or whatever. Pretty amazing. And you're talking a long time ago, you know.
And having to get the ventilation system. Yeah.
And yeah, right. And well, like I said, ventilation, you know, where they have some air down there. It's fascinating. You know, in my notes, I was looking, when I was watching, read a good amount of articles and then watched, I think, two videos, and they were showing a depiction of the people gathering their food and, you know, how they, and taking it to where they need to store it. And I thought, whoa, yeah, I never thought about that part of it, having a section or a part for the food. And then, yeah, then they had their animals, and they were talking about, okay, yep, we're going to get them here. And so, yeah, very thought out.
And they had to be there for long periods of time, it looked like, you know, that's...
Yeah, right, right. I just thought, man, that's really thought out for them to know to separate the different aspects that they needed. And then, yeah, to have a place of worship, you know?
Like, yeah.
I mean, I work at a church, and we have our sanctuary, and then we have our children's center, and we have our adult ministry area, and then we have, you know, the offices and our gym and all that. And this is 2021, you know, but we're talking thousands of years ago, them thinking about that. And
can you imagine being underground? Like, we just,
I can't
rely on the sun, and you know,
it's our energy source.
Depression when we have to be inside for the winter, you know, like in this seasonal affective disorder, that affects a lot of us. And so I just can't imagine, like, that it would not be my ideal situation to live underground. We were talking sometimes on the dinner table, we'll come up with different questions and just like think out of the box. And one of them I had for our kids was, would you rather live out on the ocean, on a ship, underground in a cave, or out in space? And I had to be a little more specific with out in space, like on a space station or on a planet that was inhabitable.
Yeah.
Because they were like, well, not floating in space, but, you know. So my thing is like, I picked out on the ocean or potentially somewhere inhabitable out in space. But no way, like my last would be the cave or underground. Like I would not want to do that under any circumstances. I don't care how wonderful it looks.
Yeah,
it doesn't look good to me.
Well, I would agree. Look at evolution of animals that have been cave dwellers. It's like you lose pigment, you lose sight, because you don't need sight if it's pitch black.
Right, and they adapt to that.
You adapt to that. So
like a mole or...
Right.
Yeah, so I mean, how interesting it would be if a certain culture evolved that way from being underground for so long.
Yeah, humans, actual people.
Yeah, right. Actual people, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
It could be like bats with the echolocation, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, Nate, you were talking about Mammoth Cave in Kentucky. I've never been there, and I've known about it and heard it's just huge. It's massive. But like, what? So is it pretty much, I mean, do you kind of go down, or is it one level? You know what I'm saying? Like,
they have multiple different skill levels. I mean, you can do like the true spelunking tour where you crawl on your belly and go through a lot of stuff. But yeah, the main tourist ones are the ones I've been on.
You're standing upright.
Yeah, you're standing upright. You don't have to crawl through a whole lot. Sure. There is one section where you drop down a chasm and it's all stairs and stuff. So there are a lot of stairs in it to get you from one level to another. The history of it's really cool. It's a dry cave, if anybody knows
anything. I was
going
to ask about that.
Between a dry and wet. Wet, you're going to get all the slagmites and slagtites, and dry, it's just slabs of limestone.
Okay,
so that's really cool. It's, the majority of it is dry. Now, there is a river way deep down in the lower levels of it, still running. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm thinking it's 300 plus miles worth of caves.
Oh.
And they're still finding new chambers.
Really?
Yeah. And it's, to my recollection, the biggest cave system in the world.
Okay. So that's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Yeah, I'd like to go there sometime. I think the only cave I've ever been to was McCormick's Creek here in Indiana, a little bit down south.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I've been
we went as a sixth grade.
Wolf Cave?
Huh?
Wolf Cave? Is that the McCormick's Creek?
I don't remember. It was
one that you go through yourself and it's real short.
Yeah, now there were parts we got on our bellies.
Yeah,
we had
to get out the other side. You have to crawl on your belly and out.
I just never knew the name of it. And like I said, so we're talking, I was 12, so 38 years ago. Hate to admit that.
Yeah.
But I thought it was awesome. Oh, we went as a school trip. Fifth and sixth graders went.
Mm-hmm.
And you could do it by yourself. There was no tour guide or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But it was creepy, you know, especially when you're 12 and you're kind of left alone to do, you know, what you want in there. And it's like, oh yeah. And then we got on our belly, you had to get out, and it was neat. It was really neat. We went through a couple times, you know.
There's another one down south Indiana, down just south of Bloomington, called Blue Springs Cavern, and you take a boat tour through. It's flooded. That one's pretty
fun. I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Just coming across different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's the extent of my cave.
We did the one with the water tour, and I had the worst headache. And I was just playing it off, and I was like, okay, no, I'm fine. But the further we went down, the worse my headache got. And I was like, it was just banging. But it was still fun. Like, I'm like, I got to enjoy this, because this is not, how often do you get to do this kind of exploration? But I remember thinking, this is not helping my headache at all.
Yeah. Right. I'm fascinated with caves. But then there's also the, what if the power does go out? What if it is dark?
Right.
And then it's that whole fear of, we fear what's in the dark, because you don't know what's there.
Fear factor, right? Yep.
It's just like when you're a kid, you know, it's really not what is there. It's just the dark itself.
Yeah.
And then you add, your mind plays the tricks with you. It's scaring you instead of, there might be nothing there, but it's just, ooh.
And they say
what could be there.
The deepest caves, ironically, it's kind of interesting that, you know, not that this is more of a coincidence, I think, but in the state of Georgia is one of the world's deepest caves. And I think it's only... there's two of the other that are the deepest are in the country, under the country of Georgia. And those are supposed to be like the deepest. There was, and I don't know meters very well, but there was, I think it was the goal of trying to get down 2,000 meters past that point, and I think they were able to do that in these in the cave systems under the country of Georgia. And that to me, but there were some places where you had to, there were straight down drops that were several hundred feet. And that to me is, like I said, the same kind of people that go out, you know, into space, like good for them, because I don't, I think that, you know, that's dangerous. People that go underwater deeper than what we can go safely, that's really dangerous. People that climb up mountains, but the people that go underground, it is extremely dangerous. I mean, more so than what we realize. People that the mine, the underneath a lot of these cities, there was old, one was in Poland, and there was pretty close to the city of Krakow, and there's salt mines there that you can still go through and tour. But those are really old. But so salt used to be the commodity. It was more, lucrative than gold. That's what people would work for, was salt, to preserve the food and all that kind of stuff. So salt mining was a huge thing. And that's where, that's some of this, the underground stuff you'll find is for the salt mines.
Yeah. I hope those people are getting compensated for doing that job.
Oh, the coal miners too. That's, I mean, that's,
about the coal miners, West Virginia, Kentucky. I mean, they're all over.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't just, even if you're fine going down there and coming right back up, what you get into your body.
In our, and where we're at as a country, that's where a lot of our industrial, you know, we went through, I mean, we still use coal, but there was that period of so much of what we've built on as a society and as a civilization is built on the back of people like the coal miners. And that's huge.
And I'm grateful for those people.
I am too.
It's like firefighters. I don't want to run into a burning building, and I, police officers, I don't want to get shot at. And, they are trained and they get paid to go towards the danger. Coal miners. A few years ago in Chile, they had those, man, it just breaks your heart, and that's the big story of the time. And you're just like, oh man, and they're just fighting for air. They're trying to share a small space, whatever. I can't remember the number, but,
Cause didn't that one got flooded? What didn't it?
The one in Chile.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think it.
I'm trying to remember how they got trapped in there. I don't think it was necessarily a collapse. I think it might have had rain and flooded them.
I think you're right
about
that. They
were stuck in a pocket.
Right. Yeah,
I remembered.
Yeah. It just seems like that. No, it's not everyday occurrence, but it happens a few times a year that you hear about something like that and things. But not, and that's deep enough. But some of these, like you said, they're, again, guys, I'm a stat guy.
I'm glad I was hoping. I was like, oh, I hope he has some good stats on this.
This is, okay, so you said 2,000 meters?
Yeah.
That is 6,561 feet. So 6,561 comes out to 1.24 miles is 2,000 meters. Okay. So a little over a mile and...
mile and a quarter.
Yeah, and then a little over 6,500 feet. That's pretty... pretty deep.
Yeah,
that's deep.
That's all.
And that was, did you guys look into the bore, like the deepest hole that's in Russia? And
oh,
did you
guys come across that at all? Yeah, that's wild.
I know, remind me, because I...
It is the Kola Super Deep Borehole. It's in Russia, and it's called, nicknamed the Hell Hole. That the hell is, hole. They say perfect. The locals call it that. Supposedly, they hear screams from hell that come out of this hole. It is only covered by like a slab of stone or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you can like, and it's not very big. A small child could potentially get caught in it or fall down it, but it's not like the diameter is not very big. But it drops down to the point, let's see what it's 7.5 miles and it's 12,262 kilometers down. And if you were to fall down it, it would take you 3.5 to 4 minutes before you reached the bottom of whatever that is. And they said that the reason there was, it's kind of like the space race and all these other kind of races that we have to be the biggest, the best and whatever, have the biggest military, the space race. And they've had these races that were, I think back in the 50s and 60s. And this has been the one to basically win is the Russian one. But what happened is they started hitting obviously very high temperatures, but then also water tables that would just, as soon as they dig, it just fill back up with water. So they have not been able to increase this. And the theory is, or the ghost stories anyway, are that all these screams and all this kind of stuff stopped them from digging as well. But, that's a little bit more, probably not necessarily true. Right. But again, anybody in Russia that is around that borehole can tell us whether they really truly hear these sounds would be great. But
and they call it the hell hole?
The hell hole, yes.
Cool.
Tell us about the hell hole.
So I thought they also encountered materials that their boring equipment couldn't get through
this
very
is true.
Well.
Yeah, and that is, they have found 24 new types of long-dead single-cell organisms, which is cool, and they found rocks that were 2.7 billion years old. And so, yeah, that's a good point, is that they're not able to go any further than that for multiple reasons. But, yeah, it's so with our technology, that's pretty deep. But if you look at the Earth and you look to see what that is, that's not very far. And so we still don't know scientifically exactly, you know, what's beyond that. And I think, honestly, with the technology systems that we have, you know, we should be able to learn more and more. And I think it'll be interesting as we do find out, because this leads us to the other part of where modern day, there are underground cities and there are underground tunneling systems that we use. Some of it we use that was naturally there, and some of it we've actually created. Some people have been shoved underground. I shouldn't say shoved, that sounds kind of crude, but it's true. Forced underground. Mm-hmm. I didn't know this, and looking at all this, there's 2,000 mole people under New York City right now that they know of, and Las Vegas has the same issue. I'm sure it's in a lot of cities that have these subterranean, which Indianapolis
I'm
has
sure
subterranean.
Indianapolis does, yeah.
So we have, and I know that more, unfortunately, and this is not a wonderful thing, but the more we have poverty and the homeless or people with emotional psychiatric problems, they are driven underground. The other in Las Vegas, they said 99.9% of people have an addiction problem, some kind of a gambling addiction or drug that has led to a drug addiction or both. And most people down there, and then they become very dangerous. They can have, you know, they can be armed. And so it's weird to think about that. But it's like, when I first thought that, I was like, well, I guess it makes sense, but you we really truly don't know who or what's underground. And even, you know, these are people that are just like you and me. They're not moles per se, but that's just what they're labeled as.
Yeah. And wasn't the movie that came out a year or two ago? I think it's called Us.
Oh yeah. I didn't see that, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Amy and I watched it, you know, not quarantine, but anyway, during the pandemic last year. And it has that these people were underground they're like doppelgangers. So you have one that lives underground that has similar traits,
right?
Like, you know, might not look exactly like you, but everything you're doing up here, you're not twin, but like doppelganger.
Doppelganger is a good word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It does. It imitates you.
Mm-hmm.
And then same as you, same in every, you know, and so, but now they're coming up to get revenge or they want to live among, you know, because they've been treated. And it was really good movie. I don't want to give. Yeah, it's
that
pretty
gives
creepy,
me the creeps.
It's like, really good. It's a really good movie.
I'll have to check that one out.
I recommend it.
Yeah,
they say you either, you know, cry or laugh. So to laugh about that, could you be like a pen pal with your doppelganger underneath? You know,
right. Yeah.
Your
above
ground and lower ground. You know, like, hey, how's it going under there? Under, you know, subterranean Sean.
Yeah, it was just neat because they were showing, like, they would show somebody up above ground.
Yeah.
Doing whatever, and then they're below. In a similar way, doing, you know, what mimicking,
right?
What it was just weird. It was really, but it's a great movie. Great, creepy.
Yeah.
That is a movie. You know what? That'd be a movie I would like to, you know, once you guys see it and delve into
it.
Because it's really good. It was really And so it's one of those movies where I always say I like the movies that make me think or ask, "What did I just see?"
Right.
You know, and really creep me out, you know.
Ones that alter your reality.
Mm-hmm.
That I've done.
This
that,
is the movie
you,
that did that.
You can't get it out of your head, or you don't think, you don't look at things the same after you see it. That's,
well, it's one of those movies where the next day I get on my phone and I want to look into it more. What did this mean? Oh, what were they trying to say here? Because
right.
It does have, it makes like a social statement.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, well, what did this scene really, you know, I mean, because you can watch it, you get it, but then it might mean something deeper. Or I just want to really read about how they came about this. And
Inception.
It's one of those movies.
Inception
that, you
was
know.
One that did that for me, where I
was
like,
good.
I had to watch that several times to figure out a dream within a dream and all the dimensional aspects.
Yeah.
That was fascinating.
But yeah, I recommend to you guys and the listeners,
okay.
if they haven't seen Us. It, very good. Yeah. So guys, we're gonna wrap this one up. This is going to be a two-parter. So episode 5 is going to be a second part to this topic, which is, I hope you guys are enjoying it, because I'm fascinated by, because this isn't your typical paranormal, creepy, spooky, but it has that creepy, spooky right. aspect to it. And you it's historical. It's there. Nobody can, you can't say, well, it might be. No, they're there.
Yep.
I mean, they, it's and so yeah. that's why
there's a concreteness to it.
It's real. Yeah. Now some of the other stories, like the kids or the lady that went down there, that Jessup, was that her name?
Right.
Jessup? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, okay. Jessup, yep. Who knows? But it's still, it's a lot to think about. And yeah.
We had originally talked about having, not trying not to duplicate other things or have these different topics and not have anything kind of butt up into each other. And that's why I thought this was a perfect one to kind of springboard into something even more interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is fun conversation. Honestly, this is, but like I said, this, and we're trying to walk this tightrope of not getting too crazy. Although our second part, we might get a little crazy. So I'm looking forward to that too.
Yeah. No, I think if anything's going to be a two-parter, this is definitely it. Like yep. Nate, you said, there's a lot there. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot.
We thought shadow people was a lot. Yeah.
Well, and it's not just like you said, hey, we're going to talk about Malta. Well, there's underground civilizations everywhere.
Yeah.
That, and who knows, even the ones that they don't know, but right. there's just a lot. You just don't have one or two locations. Oh, okay. Well, that's it. I mean, right. no, there's so many countries and areas that have this type of underground civilization,
right?
These underground cities, then lost cities. I know one of the guys said he likes to call them lost cities because, mm-hmm. Even though you know about them or they do, but just over time, not like you're going to Disneyland.
Right.
I mean, they're not visited much, And then some of them are, like I said, they have tours and stuff, but he likes to call them lost cities. And then, but yeah, so I hope you guys enjoyed that, the first part to this. I know I did. I'm going to turn it over to Sean for the announcements.
I am definitely going to still, we're going to talk about, kind of wrap this up, but I still want to do, we're part of these fun talks and all the spookiness that we've got involved. But I still want to wrap it up with something that's positive and something that I think will be helpful for everybody. I'm trying to think about each episode that we do, trying to choose something that is close to what is close to my heart, close to something that speaks to me. And it is it's a poem by an Adam Roa. I've listened to him on YouTube, so shout out to Adam Roa. He's a poet, a musician, entertainer. If you get a chance to check him out on YouTube, I would highly recommend it.
What was his last name?
Roa, R-O-A.
Okay.
Yeah, so Adam. I don't know him personally, but I feel like I do because I've listened to a lot of his good content. But the one that I wanted to pick is really something that I think it's a good one, but it's titled, "You Are Who You've Been Looking For." So you are who you've been looking for. So stop looking for more unless you are looking in the mirror, because it is about time for you to see clear that you are what you've been looking for. And that empty feeling in your gut, you got that hole in your chest. You only got that feeling because you think you are not blessed and with everything you need. You see, we live in a consumerist society, which means they need you to buy stuff, and the easiest way to sell it is to tell you you are not enough. Buy this car, you'll get the girls. Buy this bra, you will get the guys. And we are seeing is so much that we start believing these lies. But the truth is, the makeup they are selling to make you feel prettier is the same makeup you buy to stop feeling, pardon my language, but shittier. About this lie, they keep telling you you are not enough. And what about the movies we watch on shows on TV? The more I watch, the more I see. I need you to complete me. And yes, love is the answer. Love is the key. But if you can't love yourself, how could you ever love me? And loving yourself, what does that even mean? Like messages and selfies and that sort of thing? Because the more I think about it, the more it feels weird. I've always been taught that self-love is something to be feared. I've been taught that arrogance is bad and vanity is not good. And even my bracelets are telling me to act like Jesus would. So what should I do? How should I act? I am supposed to love myself, but how do I even do that? Well, I got a trick that I picked up from a friend who noticed that I was quick to defend her when she would say something negative about herself. She would say, "I am so dumb." And I would say, "You are so brilliant." She would say, "I am so weak." And I would say, "You are so resilient." And she would say, "I feel ugly." And I would say, "You look beautiful." She asked me why I was so dutiful, filling up her cup constantly, and yet treating my own cup so irresponsibly.
Because when I looked in the mirror and my voice was quite clear, you are ugly, you are too thin, your hairline's receding, you got pimples on your chin. And that was when she gave me a piece of advice that changed my life. She gave me a hug and said, treat yourself like someone you loved. Treat yourself like someone you loved. Now, I've been standing, but I need to be sitting because I couldn't believe that I had been letting myself keep forgetting that I was who I'd been looking for. And deep in the core, I knew it was time to stop looking for more until I could look through all my fear and look into a mirror and see clearly that the man looking back at me was the only one who could make me happy. And I am already enough. And I am not any more special or unique than you. That is why I'm here to speak to you. You are already enough. And when you start to see that, you will start to be that. Your world will get brighter. Your load will get lighter. And you see that with life, you can be a lover and not a fighter. And what life you that life, you deserve it because you are worth it. And there is no point in letting yourself keep forgetting. No matter what you say or do, you are perfect. As of today, I hope I leave you with a direction correction away from the flaws you see in our reflection. They aren't flaws to me. They are simply protection against all the doubts you have of your perfection. So start today. Take a good long look into the mirror and say, I am who I've been looking for. He does it a lot more entertaining and a lot more with a lot more passion. But I try. That is really deep and it's beautiful.
Absolutely.
So if you get a chance to look it up from him, it's really good. I know it's a little long, but
no,
I think it really hits home.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. Like you said, we're always trying to mask this and mask that, or make up, but you know, just trying to whatever our deficiencies are. Okay, now we got to have this. Now I'll feel better,
yeah,
or I'll be stronger, or I'll feel better mentally or physically, or, oh, no, you know what? I'm lacking in this, so this will make me happier. No, it's not.
I find the older I get,
how it works,
the less I need. You know, I'm becoming more and more of a minimalist, and I mean, I'm not saying I'm perfect with that, and I know we're all materialistic,
sure,
to a point, but it is, you know, you really, it, you know, when you get to a certain point in your life, things start, you don't get more things. You start getting things taken from you. And I think we're all getting to that point where we're starting to feel that a little bit more. And I know you feel that the older you get. So it is, you got to hold on to every day with all your might and be grateful.
And I think, and especially now, but it's nothing that's, you know, it's always existed. There's always going to be somebody to tell you that you're not worth this and worth, right, that, and you're terrible at this and terrible at that. And I've listened to that before, you know, people tell me that I'm not good at, you know, whatever, or oh, you don't try that, you'll fail, and I'm the worst at telling myself.
I'm going to say
the worst. I will say, I'll admit, I'm really bad at that, and that's why I'm proud of us as a group, but personally, especially at 50 years old, I'm not old, but like to do something like a podcast, to challenge myself to do something like this, I'm really... Okay, cool. I went after something, and to put yourself out there for people to listen to,
yep,
and they can say, man, you're crappy, or this podcast is terrible, or you're, you stumbled and fumbled your words, and okay, you know, I'm not going to get knocked down. I'm still, I'm going to make mistakes or error, but I mean, I'm just proud that we can do this together, and then personally, I'm just really proud that I went after it and didn't back down,
right,
or quit.
Good, yeah.
You know.
Good for you.
And not that my daughter, who's 13, Olivia, so she has a mirror that I know I still need to put on the door for her. She doesn't listen to the podcast, so I'm okay.
So you're good.
Yeah. But no, I went in this morning before I left, because I always make sure they turn the lights off before, you know, go to work and they go to school, because they're known to do that. They leave their lights on. And I looked on her mirror, and without telling, you know, I won't tell personal stuff of her, but it was cool because she said basically, like, you know, you're worthy, you're worth, you know, you're strong, you know, that type of thing. And she said, and that little sticker said, you know, God loves you.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's awesome. That put a smile on my face, because you know, and she's okay, 13, what years do that, or does that stuff start, you know, is teenager years and doubting yourself, and you have anybody and everybody telling you you're not cute, you're not pretty, you're not handsome, right, or you're not good at this. And and for her to look at that and remind herself, no, she is worthy. she is, you know, God does love her. He made her, you know, and she's worth, you know, going after whatever she wants. And don't let anybody else tell her that she isn't what she should think she is, you know.
That's why I wanted to read Adam's poem too, because I think what you were saying, the bottom line is people can treat you like absolute garbage, but when you say, you know, people are saying you're not good enough and you can't do this and you'll never make it. That's the worst when that's your inner voice. And I know that's something I'm trying to work on. I've been trying to work on for years, but is to reprogram that. And that's, if anybody gives up on, it's okay if everybody gives up on you, but if you give up on yourself, that's when you're at a point break.
One cool thing is once you get that inner acceptance, it doesn't matter what anybody says about you. You just, okay, that's your opinion, whatever. Just keep on walking.
As my old boss said, you can think that. That's what he'd always say.
Yeah,
you know, say, you can think that, but
thank you for trying to help me.
If someone says something like that, I'm like, keep on going.
Right.
Exactly. Right. I think that's what's one of the best parts of this podcast. Like, I know we've been saying this every single one, but we love being here. We love sharing with you guys. We love, you know, kind of geeking out on each other and for each other and for you guys. And that's awesome. But we really want to make sure that we make it clear that this is a community. And we all need it. The three of us need it. Our families need it. Our friends need it. You guys all need it. And we're glad to be here. We're honored to be here. And we want to make sure, if you guys have anything else before, I know we'll wrap up with...
No, I'm good.
Okay. Yeah. You're good, Nate.
Yep.
We want you guys to always be able to find us, obviously, on Instagram and Facebook at Middle Aged and Creeped Out. Please, 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 if you can, if you don't know how... Let us know. We'll help you through it, or ask a younger person. No offense, not an ageist remark right there. No offense, Todd, but I'm feeling the same thing. Rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It really does help us move up the ladder for future listeners and to find us easier.
And not to cut you off, but it really does help us move up the ladder for future listeners to find the podcast, because... Yeah, it just really does. I know I posted two or three times. I'm not trying to... irritate people or annoy people. Oh, there he is again, posting on, you know, Facebook asking for reviews, but it's just, it really helps, you know, and listening to podcasts for 4 years, 5 years now, they do the same thing, you know, mm-hmm. it's what we count on, you know, so.
Yeah. Just we like this and we want to keep doing this. So
I just want to say, I'm not trying to annoy our.
No, not at all.
Instagram followers and Facebook, but it just, yeah. So yeah. I'll throw that in there every once in a while. Yeah, still, fine. Hey guys, so really, I want to rate and review.
Right.
Really help us.
So we want to thank you guys for your support and encouragement that we've received for this podcast has already been immense.
Oh yeah.
We love the interplay between the three of us. It's fantastic. We've only been doing this for a week and a half and we're already feeling pretty high about how we're doing. You know, we're doing this for our own enjoyment and our own fun. But we're glad to take you along with our ride. So
absolutely.
We are available now on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, on the web, all kind of different. Basically, if it's out there right now, we're probably on it. So the iHeartRadio, I know we're on.
Because I know you said you had, when I asked who we're on, you said, all the major platforms. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
And then you said a bunch of minor ones that,
Never even heard of.
I think
of.
I right. saw today, like
but I love them.
Radio.com.
Radio.com, yeah.
Oh, really? Radio? Yeah. I've never heard that.
Yeah, we're out
I
there.
I haven't either.
So we're I have now. We're on it. Good.
We are out there.
I like to hear it.
We'll plug anybody we can.
Yeah, cool.
So the other thing we want to give out every single time on all the podcasts are the substance mm-hmm. abuse and mental health hotlines. That is 1-800-662-4357, and that is HELP. And the National Prevention of Suicide Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255, and those last four are TALK. And feel free to share, like Todd was talking about before, share any stories that you have, inspirational quotes, books, anything that you want to on the website, email Todd, like he gave you that information before. We want to hear from you. So please feel free. This is an open community.
Even a topic.
Oh yeah. We'd love that.
Yeah. Give us a topic, something that you want to hear that you've never heard anybody talk about. We'll take a stab at it.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah. Topic suggestions are always welcomed, mm-hmm. you know, find something that is creepy or spooky. We're all about it. Yeah. There's not a shortage of stories that we're finding. You know,
we'll go weird. We'll go creepy. We'll go out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
We'll go down a rabbit hole or two.
No, but yeah, I'm glad Nate, you did say that because I want, we do our, we talk about, okay, hey, check this out. Or, hey, we found this and, or I found, you know, whatever, what do you think? And, but yeah, I'm always open to listeners and social media followers to, you know, because there's a bunch out there.
And eventually we'll get some people on too.
That is something. Yeah. That reminds me to mention something else kind of along that line. But anyway, I have two or three that I'm working on. I just haven't mentioned to you guys yet.
Okay.
But I found them on social media through Instagram. We kind of follow each other. You know, I follow their site and all that, or whatever, their group or whatever. They have given me the, I'd love to be on.
Okay.
And one's an investigator. One's an actual, and she's here in Indiana.
Yep.
She lives up in Fort Wayne, I think. And there's a,
cool.
And now she goes everywhere. She posted the other day, she was in Pennsylvania. But yeah, she does a lot of investigations here in Indiana or locally Ohio. And then she'll go, she's been to further states. And then there's a couple other, guys that, one's an author and he was on another podcast I heard maybe a month or two ago. Very, very interesting. He had, just kind of give you an idea. He's had some run-ins with demons.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then he wrote a book and it's bestseller and a great guy.
Yeah.
And he's coming from a Christian standpoint.
Perspective. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, not hokey or anything, but it was really, it kept my attention. That was for sure. Mm-hmm. And he said, anytime, you know, just got to make it work. But yeah, so we want to have, you know,
okay.
And then we're going to try to get Sean's brother. Now, whenever he's ready, he's going through some stuff. So I just had to say that to tease him.
Yep.
But, cause you said he listens, right?
Yeah.
All right.
He'll be listening to this.
But yeah, anything else, Sean, that any other announcements before I wrap it up?
And we'll wrap it up there.
Awesome. Cool. Well, guys, we want to thank you for listening to episode 4. And until next time, creepies, Nate is our sound engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged
and creeped out. Keep it creepy.